When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, friends. Welcome to an unexpected podcast. I'm Ez.
And I'm Anatar.
And welcome to the Rings of Mithril.
Mithril is power. Welcome to... Have you tried mixing them?
Have you tried mixing lately? Oh, welcome to season two, dude. Rings of Power, or we're calling it Rings of Mithril. I don't know if you've noticed, but... Yeah. What makes the rings powerful is the mithril.
Yeah.
So this will be season two, episodes 1, 2, and 3. We're going to give you
damn near half the season.
Right? Pretty much. Yeah. And we're going to give you guys the Lane and Ez just, I don't know, rant on the fan fiction that we've just all watched. I'll put it like that.
We both kind of come up with like different vibes we get from this season. We saw so many clips.
Yeah.
We saw more clips going into this season than we saw season one, I think. Is that fair to say?
Yep.
And I think from all the clips and then watching the episodes, kind of the title I've given this show, I've renamed it Days of Our Lies. because, you know, we've talked about kind of like the overacting and like the lines sometimes like, wow, did AI write this or did you take it from a Hallmark script? Like, where did this come from?
Do you think they did? Do you think they refined any of the script with AI?
I think maybe they're gaslighting us so bad that this might be entirely an AI show.
This is wild.
Feels like it.
This is wild.
Feels like it, dude. So we both watched episode one independently. You watched all three. And then we rewatched.
Last night. Yep.
Yes. Then Ez just rewatched, and I watched the first time episodes 2 and 3.
Yep.
Episode one. Episode two. Yeah. And then, I mean, I think we took a nap in episode three.
Well, guys, we just did our commentary for episodes 2 and 3. We fell asleep at the end of three. Probably because it's late. Also because like that was
nothing
slow.
Happened.
That was like, you know, it is what it is. We're going to get to the meat of all this, but there is a very raw, open conversation that we have on So if you are a patron and we want to thank you guys for
it's as open
supporting us
a conversation as Galadriel was opened to Sauron.
Yeah.
He looked inside her.
Darkness.
We don't know. Well, yeah. I mean, he saw something.
Yeah.
He might still be in there.
Right.
That's
what Elrond said. So... Can I just start? And I like to start like this, okay? If you're a fan of this show, this is probably not going to be the episode for you to listen to. No, and the one that will be on our podcast is The Hobbit Hotline.
For sure.
Because I think there are a lot of fans to this show, and I think there are people. Yeah. I would actually love a refreshing cup of optimism and positivity.
This is Andrew.
Bring it on. Andrew, I'm expecting you to call next week. I'm not sure. I think Wednesday, Thursday, whenever.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Monday.
That's coming right up. That's exciting.
I know. Yeah. Whenever we want to do it.
Yeah.
So we'll announce it on social media. Be looking forward to that. We'll have a number listed and everything. And it should be a good time. Hopefully we get, you know, a couple of callers and we hear some voices and stuff from you guys because we want to hear your thoughts. But
Before are we still we do, the only group that does that? Are the only podcast that does a hop out? No,
I've never haven't really checked. I think but we I are. Think we might be. Yeah.
The voice of the people.
What if the showrunners call in? What are we going to ask them?
I would say I would do.
Can I start?
I would say I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
How dare you?
How dare you? That's what you would say.
No, thank you.
I would ask a question.
What would you ask?
And I would say, why did you start this series the way you started it?
Yeah.
Because it is irreversible. They have tried very here's my spiel. Let Ez go. I like to do a Wizards rant once in a while.
Let's do it, baby.
All right, because I'm going to just take the mics for a while. Just hand me yours. I'll double mic it. Guys, I actually legitimately am speaking through two mics. I don't know. What does it sound like? We won't know until the editing process. Okay, here you go. It's bad. Here you go. That was bad. All right.
That's so cool.
So here's my spiel.
Yeah.
I think my personal opinion is to play the guessing game in season one has set the tone for all the seasons to come.
Yes.
So that, I think, was a bad move because we then had to start off with a wizard that does not know who he is to get into this whole guessing game, right? And then now his powers, and
it's a new guessing game of what wizard is he in?
Yes.
Where do I, yeah.
Right. So we start with, name? Yeah, he was a part of the first guessing game of Sauron, right? Yeah. Who is Sauron? Is he Sauron? Is he not? And now our wizard is also a part of the second guessing game that will kind of continue. So they've doubled down.
I'm Diderot.
Right. So, what would Dodrick and what was all the other... Frederick
and Wise and Fredegar and
So whatever every name you can think of but anyway,
they literally looked up all the male hobbit names on like Tolkien Gateway.
Was this still AI, man?
Right.
Anyway,
so
sorry,
but my whole thing here is that I would not have made, I don't know that, I don't think that's Tolkien. I think it kind of, it now dictates, you now have to. We read a quote in one of the articles where the showrunners were talking about how it would feel kind of cheap to just go ahead and provide the stranger with his name and his identity and his purpose and quest when we withheld it from him for all of season one. Yeah. Now, that's not lore. That was your choice.
Yeah.
That was the choice to do that. So yeah, it is cheap to not continue that because you started it that way. Yeah. I've said this before. Now my other big I guess the question I would ask them is why the separation of Sauron and Mordor? Why is it that Adar, and we know the answer is they're creating a sympathetic Sauron.
Yeah.
We need to feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
I think that's totally, I'm just not a fan. I don't like that choice and I'm not so sure. I'm not sure what it's doing. And I just want to get my grievances out here.
Okay? Yeah, no, I'm down. I love this.
And because my grievances are really about season one. And I think it just sets all this precedent for season two. You cannot go back from these decisions.
Right.
And so we've got the guessing game. We've got Mordor being created by Waldreg. And they double down in episode one of season two. And they basically say, hey, we weren't kidding about season one.
Yeah.
He actually really is not involved in the creation of Mordor whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it was actually Adar, and Adar is actually the lord of Mordor. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, okay, my gosh, that is shocking. Did you guys know that? I didn't know that. That was
news to me.
That's news to everyone, right? That's the lore they're wanting to bring in. So that's two grievances. I'm sorry. I told you this is going to be a thunder. So I'm going hardcore here. So my other thing, I think I got four of these things total, the third one is the rings being created out of order. And everyone might think that's not a huge deal, but we just witnessed everything in episodes 1, 2, and 3 is the result of doing that, right? So by making it, it totally dictates everything that the elves are going to do. You know, when the elven rings are created, lastly, by Celebrimbor as a way to kind of defy Sauron, right, and to make them without his direct influence, but he's still using the techniques that he was taught. That's actually what binds those rings back to the Dark Lord. But Celebrimbor was trying to do something good. He had been deceived.
To try and redeem his his act.
Absolutely, absolutely. And unless I'm wrong, and the lore masters, you know, correct me, which is fine. Yeah.
They're too busy actually promoting the show now, right. So they can't do that.
So we're on our own here.
Yeah,
my bad, guys.
Ez and Lane save Middle Earth.
Get back to us when they're done.
About a month
after done the show is
cashing those checks. Yeah,
yeah.
They know who they are.
So anyway, it's like, okay. That really does determine a lot of these different actions.
Yeah.
I mean, they are now, as it sets up a whole storyline that never existed before, which is Elrond is kind of now saying, you guys are all complicit. You're all going to be his collaborators in this.
Yeah.
And you now know he's actually Sauron, and you're choosing to wear the rings. And the way we get to all of this is, hey, look, just because the person who kind of created them is bad doesn't mean that the creation itself is bad, right? That's what Círdan will say to us, right?
Interesting, because he passes his ring to one who says, don't tempt me, Frodo!
Don't tempt me, Frodo!
Understand,
I would use this ring for good,
but through me, it will wield a power too great and terrible to imagine.
Right, so
that's like basic undoing of...
Yeah,
like, but moral code almost, like within the world of Tolkien.
Yeah,
right?
let's take Círdan's philosophy of like how these rings are still good, right? You know, we used the blade of a blade from Valinor and stuff,
right.
So they're pure
right.
materials and all these different things, right?
Right.
So, but okay, what about all of the other rings to come? Why doesn't that same, you know? Should they not be also
free of the
free like you know what I'm saying?
No, you're
it's
right.
Like he's totally
it's all how
wrong
you use them. Yep.
In his, it's just he's lucky.
Yeah.
Círdan, we're kind of lucky. Like Elrond is sort of like, guys, this could be bad. All of the other ones made after this are actually bad and should not be worn. Right.
Yeah.
And there's this deception happens in reverse order. And it makes Celebrimbor look terrible.
Yeah.
I think this makes him look like it takes his character.
And, he looks like a buffoon.
Yeah, and it just feels really, you know, really odd. And so, anyway, there's that. And I think the final thing for me is also that, like, what gives the rings their power was the Mithril. Yeah. And now I'm totally confused as to how Khazad-dûm, where Mithril is being harvested, is going to be saved by a Mithril
ring.
Like a Mithril ring will come back and save them. You need this Mithril ring. The Mithril was really what was the healing power.
Yeah.
So Sauron, the craziest bit here is he has the techniques. Hallbrand in season one has the techniques to teach people how to, he can teach Celebrimbor. He gives him, you know, what's he tell him to do?
Have
you tried mixing them?
Doesn't it sound like an Austin Powers line? Allow myself to introduce myself.
Yeah, it's wild. So okay,
so bad.
But that's his advice is to they have Mithril and they realize, hey, they put it next to a leaf in Linden and they say, look at that bad boy. This Mithril is healing these leaves. This rock is healing nature. This stone is healing the leaves, the light coming off of it. Okay, and we all saw the backstory, the Balrog and the whole thing, and you know how it was all created.
Yep.
So, okay, now what we're doing is we're basically saying, like, the real, the goodness and the power in that is, it's like the techniques that Sauron is using will allow them to make these great objects, but it also gives him control over all of them. Mm-hmm. He can bind them later with a one ring, right? So it just blows my mind that the Mithril piece is totally made up.
Yeah, totally.
That's totally fan fiction.
Yeah,
and it's
it almost feels like a justification for, I don't know which one is justifying which, like having that Mithril creation story, you know, being justified by the rings, or the rings being justified by the creation story. It's just like we're gonna, make more of something than needs to be made, or again, take something off a shelf and put it over there to another shelf where it doesn't belong.
Yeah. And it just falls apart when it goes to the Dwarven lords, who like, hey, bring us more of that Mithril. We're going to make it into special rings.
Yeah, like you said, while our mountain is made of it,
of Mithril. Now all they did was actually sit a piece of Mithril next to a leaf, and it actually healed everything.
Yeah.
Now I know they wanted to. They give it this bout. They want the circular sort of construction and the mixing to make it amplify upon itself and stuff.
Sure.
But they've got literal minds of it. You know how the Balrog can survive down in there with all that.
Oh,
I have
no
clue. But yeah. Anyway, I'm being a little nitpicky, I guess, with that one. Maybe. I don't know.
Are
but
you, the, though? I don't the, think that is nitpicky.
The Rings of Power, like that, the crazy, the, you actually take away, I think, some of Celebrimbor's ability.
Yeah.
And in his prestige, in his craftsmanship.
Yeah.
Because he was this renowned creator who could create these things, and he actually, when Annatar first shows up, he does not trust him right away. Mm. The other smiths start working right away, and he's there to work on ringcraft. And but he's you know, eventually over time, and it's a lot of time, and it's not days. It's not an initial one conversation, that's the condensed timeline piece. That's also difficult.
But
you mean
it's not like this. Should I go give him a shawl? He looks cold down there.
He looks cold.
I'll go down to him.
Yeah.
Oh, come on in then.
Come on. The
Can I get you a drink and some food? Put your feet up, please.
Right.
Like, what in the heck?
It's the believability for me. I think it's a hard sell.
Right.
I can't believe that somebody who survived the fall of Gondolin, who fought in the War of Wrath, Celebrimbor himself, would be so easily deceived.
When you think of it that way, too, he's fought against Sauron.
Mm-hmm.
They're old enemies.
Yeah, he was there.
And so for him, that's part of why in the lore that he would have sensed him and mm-hmm. or like sensed that part of Annatar that is still
something
perceivable.
Was off. Mm. And instead, you have in the episodes that we've seen. Durin the fourth, I was mm-hmm. gonna mix
yeah.
up,
yeah.
come in, and he basically is the one who is suspicious.
Elrond's never talked of you or spoken of you, or who is it, Gil-galad, or whoever he's saying,
right?
Whatever
right.
Elven he's like, lord, he's like, never heard of him, or never heard of you.
He's instantly not buying it.
They conveyed that really well, too, I thought.
Yeah,
like that suspicion. It was like you said, that should have been Celebrimbor
originally, and like there's he's so easily duped, and fooled, and I just don't think that's accurate to lore. It doesn't feel that way. Now, I don't know. And maybe I don't know enough about it, and you guys can feel free to correct me. We'll gladly stand corrected. It's tough. And I'm trying to wrap my head around that decision is now dictating everything. I mean, he walks in and Sauron wants to make the nine rings for men to start, and he's at least hesitant to say, I'm not so sure about that.
Men are wimps, dude. We can't do that.
Right. So, and also I'm thinking, like, what are the nine
kingdoms that he
would... We ain't seen any of those, but I get... I don't know. It's maybe they're more well-known and it's established in lore. I don't know. That's all going
to
be...
But, I mean, at some point, though, it like with for this thing to even make sense in, on its own, you have to detach it from the lore, because it's veered so far from it anyway. But like mm-hmm. to your point, in the show as of right now, there are no other kingdoms of men other than the Southlands that we've seen,
right?
Other than the Numenoreans, but
right. And to be fair, if you were so if you rectified all of the things that I had, that my four issues, the three issues that I mentioned at the beginning, you know, Mordor and all those different things. And you ran it pretty straight, and you boring, whatever you want to say, oh, that'd be kind of boring. But if you actually went more accurate to that, no,
I don't think it would be at all.
You would still have to create some stuff. You would still have stuff that's
absolutely
like any blue wizards going out the east. We would be complete. Write that fan fiction. Yeah. Go ahead and write the story that Tolkien never wrote. Right. Is that their quote or whatever?
Yeah.
So I would actually swallow that better. If all these other things weren't there, does that make sense? If there wasn't a guessing game, if Sauron was Sauron and we weren't feeling sorry for him, we weren't like snuggling up with our orc wife and her baby.
And Galadriel having flashbacks of, man, the way Halbrand touched my hand,
and
makes me bite that lip, right? I mean, what is happening?
I don't know what's going on.
You're still
with
tempted by him, Galadriel.
So that's my rant to get all that out just before we...
So you have four beautifully crafted,
articulated
questions. I mean, I can see now why you're akin to Celebrimbor. Mine, I have one. I have one. It's much more blunt. And I would just ask them, I would say, how's it feel?
Yeah.
And they would go, oh, they probably think, you know, like, how's it feel to be them?
Yeah.
And really what I would follow up was with it is... How's it feel to be responsible, or at least a part of, the biggest fumble of all time?
Oh,
like, I just,
boy.
I can't, understand.
I
can't understand. I've tried thinking about this subjectively. Does it, or not subjectively?
Objectively.
Objectively.
Mm-hmm. It's late. It's like 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
in the morning.
It's super late, and I always confuse those anyway because I'm a moron. But objectively, is it any good? I don't know. I think you could make an argument.
Yeah.
And then I look at the whole fan side of it too, thinking about what we've learned from this time. I mean, we were sitting here and you were looking up okay, let's get some nitty gritty on Celebrimbor.
Yeah.
Let's see what I remember from what I've read about him.
Right.
And then let's look into the ring lore. What are things that we've read? God, I mean,
why does it feel odd to us that Galadriel, because she has to behave this way because, well, she was a part. She covered up the whole Sauron.
And I mean, a lot of this stuff too, we get in Shadow of a Past, the Shadows of the Past, and the Council of Elrond. We get a lot of this information.
Right.
It's discussed at length. We get a lot of the lore and the history of Sauron. So it's there. It's just we're not always thinking about it, so it's not fresh.
Right.
But the thing that blows me away is just how dumb it can feel.
Mm.
In the same way that the Lord of the Rings made me go, oh my gosh. It made me feel dumb in a different way. Lord of the Rings made me feel dumb, but Rings of Power feels dumb. The Lord of the Rings made me feel dumb in a way where I thought, I have no idea what the Valar are. I don't know what is Elvish? Who are these? What's a Dúnedain Ranger? What does this mean?
Yeah.
And it drove me to want to read the books, and then you're experiencing all this stuff.
And when you go to read the books, you're rewarded with a fairly similar experience. Yes,
representation.
That just expands upon what was there in the movies, yeah.
And what this is
hard to do that with the Second Age. I would give them that out a little bit, but also this was your choice.
Right.
To and go.
I think there are more, I don't know, I think almost anyone out there could think of a better way to make choices that were informed by what Tolkien wrote in the Second Age, as opposed to just thinking, we're going to kind of put in whatever we think is cool, or we're going to justify things that we want to do and then have to, we talked about the other thing we talked about was defamation, right?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like defamation of characters.
Well, especially for
Gil-galad, Galadriel, even Elrond at this point, Círdan, everyone, every time someone comes in, you're like, okay, maybe this character is going to be solid. Just give them 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay. The only people I feel like who have been consistent are Adar,
mm-hmm.
D4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Arondir.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only, was that four?
Yeah, and
three.
Yeah.
Three characters where I'm like, okay, I know what to expect from them. One of them is totally invented.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
it for me, so here's the thing. They have made, I want to say something positive before it gets too deep into this podcast.
Yeah.
They have made strides to try to improve this season big time.
But they're doing the impossible.
They're doing the impossible because as I said when we covered season 1, I think it was maybe at the end or it was definitely in between season 1 and now, I've said this numerous times, if you listen to this podcast, that you made decisions that you could never go back on. There's just no way that you can't again, it goes back to the showrunners when they're answering that question is an IGN article and we can't just now give you the wizard's name. We have to go through a whole other season. We have to. Well, yes, you have to because you did it for the first season and then you also left him with no name at the end of season 1. So it is. These are choices you cannot return from, and you have to double down on them. And there are improvements. It's grittier. It's darker.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. There's tons of positives.
Cinematography has improved, too, as well.
We feel off, I think, because, the way you felt when you first went to watch Lord of the Rings, and you're like, oh, my God, I feel dumb. And then you go read about it, oh, this is so cool, and you learn more, and you're into it. It's awesome.
Yep.
I don't feel like people who are going to watch this and then go try to find stuff and find lore, they're going to find nothing.
Yeah. Because the other thing...
You'll find nothing on Sauron's backstory this. Why? Because it's made up. You'll find nothing about this blue wizard out there in Rune because It doesn't exist. So,
and the other thing too,
it's
like,
hard.
Yeah, what Lord of the Rings does too, or did, you know, you see the movies, you go to the books, if that was your path, and then you go back to the movies, and it's only enriched by that experience.
Mm-hmm.
This would not be enriched whatsoever. You'd have to pick a side. It kind of feels divisive that way. I would also say maybe a great term for this show and Tolkien's writings, irreconcilable differences.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a straight divorce, and it's like, why? We can't come to a middle ground.
Yeah.
Like, we want to do this, or maybe that would be a better term for, like, between season one and season two. Like, we want to try and fix the mistakes. We want to try and find a way to work in more of the lore. Like, you brought it up with Muriel.
Yeah.
With her color choice. The white being the ways of the
faithful.
Yeah, the faithful. Yes. And the red being the cults that come to Numenor.
Right.
And that's a great accurate. Touch. That's a that's a beautiful touch. But then two episodes earlier, you kick off the season with Sauron in the Second Age having to campaign for the support of the orcs.
Yeah, that's wild.
It just, those are in the same universe and the same show, dude.
Yeah.
It makes no damn sense for that. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. You're trying to, like, justify mistakes you made, and so you're spending so much time justifying or writing backstory for mistakes you made in the first season that you're neglecting even further everything that actually does exist.
I mean
I don't know if you can say it. Through and you can list everything.
Right.
And there's tons of stuff. I mean, we did it in our commentary. It was hilarious. It was like, what? And then even like, Lord, dude, when you have that situation where Halbrand is, and this is episode two, I think, episode two or three, when Halbrand's out in the courtyard, he's come back to Eregion.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, Celebrimbor.
Yo.
I know you see me. Come on
daddy
now.
Back.
Right. I put a little, I made my moves on your little elven lady there. She knows she's going to want me in that tower, if you know what I'm saying.
You haven't talked to her? Come on.
Come on down with that funky umbrella that does not keep you dry at all.
That was funny.
Comes down, lets him in, right? And we were like, dude, what in the heck? Like, how dumb does Celebrimbor look? And it mostly because, like, that is not deceitful at all. Halbrand's not even being clever. It's like clumsy and not believable and lame. And we were thinking, like, how could that have worked? He could have just shown up as Annatar.
Mm-hmm.
He could have just shown up as like some kind of elven ethereal being and been like, wow. So it wouldn't have been like, Halbrand disappeared and now here's Annatar. And then Annatar walking out of the flames and saying, I am... the Lord of the Rings.
Right. It actually, by keeping it as Halbrand who shows up, there's too many breadcrumbs that Celebrimbor should have been like, there's some bad here. He actually already says, look, I promised not to treat with him, so he needs to go away. Versus an Annatar who just walks in, and the dramatic irony there is we all see the same face, the same actor, unless you're, you know.
Our wives.
Shout out to our wives. Yeah. Who are like, wow.
Who is that
guy?
Is that the same dude? His hairline's higher.
Honey, yes. But... anyways, just, you know, it's actually probably a good move. We're the idiots now. We didn't really, we are actually. You guys know, Lane and I are openly, we admit that we're idiots. But I'm just frustrated because I know if you're an actor, because we've talked to an actor on the show, right? I mean,
yes, we have.
I actually think the acting is off the chart. I love the acting. Yeah. I love the delivery of the lines. I mean, I don't actually like
all of the
lines themselves, but the delivery of them and the cadence and the strong voice. And I think the music's always been solid, the sets, all the different things. So I just want to say, the biggest problem is that, like, when you go to read about a character, I've read about Celebrimbor for years. I actually have. And I actually really do. I mean, all of this stuff is all about the rings of power, right?
Yeah.
Which is everything that we think about and talk about when we're in the Fellowship, when we start off and we're going through all those the main series. And so for us to think about that, and we have this idea that was given to us from the main series, then we go back and we realize it was a volcano and there's earthquakes that are going on and that...
And he couldn't win over the orcs and...
Yeah, and it just... He seems like such a weak individual. And I understand, I want to bring up a conversation that you kind of shed some light on. I think it was a podcast that the showrunners were on. I don't have the name in front of me right now. And maybe we'll put a link. I'll put a link if I can.
Yeah, Jake Hodgson hooked us up with those clips. They were
just clips from a podcast. Yep. We'll figure out the name of it. But they were kind of shocked, I think, by people like us. It was probably us, to be honest with
you.
Probably, dude. Which shout out to
you. I hope it was
us. Shout out to you guys. Would love to have you on the show.
Dude, I mean, even Airplane Facts with Max has been corrupted.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like... Yeah.
It's unreal. Well, not us, though, baby.
All the people, like you said this, actually, all the people who are covering this show, like social media-wise, they also criticized season one. They had issues with the same things that we've mentioned, I think.
Yeah. And in 4 weeks more time, they'll be criticizing it again.
They will. Yeah.
Yeah. After they cash last check.
We'll see. I mean, I'd be really interested to actually watch and wonder if they do change their criticism or if they're maybe there's more left in this. And again, we're going to watch the whole season and go through it. We want to hear your guys' thoughts. But honestly, we've
seen half the season. I mean, we can honestly say, I mean, like,
and we've seen some of the trailer.
We haven't seen half the trailer. We still have, are coming. Yeah.
And I was actually hopeful. Like, it was really the start of, like, episode one where I was like, man, this has kind of lost me. Like, with the Sauron bit and him campaigning and the way, you know, it's wild because I guess I ask myself, I'm like, did you guys who have read Tolkien for years and have been Tolkien fans, did you guys know Sauron was killed like that?
I love that you phrase that. That is a great way to...
It's a great way to phrase it because you didn't know that because that is Payne and McKay.
Yeah. And I would also say...
Which is totally fine. I mean, it's like...
Hold on.
I would even have... I would have swallowed it better had all those grievances that I listed off and had there been a straighter path and it had been... Had there been more connection to the pillars. I just think you deviate from some pretty crazy... pillars for me. Right. I don't know. And it just is
hard. Knock pillars down, I think. I think you destroy pillars. I mean, other than just like, this character is named this. I mean, you destroy character. Like, defamation is an actual legit like gripe I think a lot of these characters would have. If they were, like we were talking about that, if they were real people, they could probably win a lawsuit for defamation.
Sauron's like, look,
maligning my character.
Just so you guys know, I was like second in command to like, the big bad, dude. And there was no way that anybody was good. Like, Adar was not gonna.
No,
you could tell from the start of that.
I was Adar's daddy.
Like,
he was the father of the orcs, and I was the father of him.
What
right
in the world? It's like it's, and then
to launch into that too. That was so. Again, the first episode sets a tone, right? It's gotta either hook you or book you, and you've got that whole crazy stuff with him not winning over the orcs, and then his ooze, like adding a rat plus a centipede plus an old lady equals Halbrand, and then a bunch of backstory that, even if you're just a fan of the show, was anyone wanting that? Was anyone wanting that to be extrapolated on, like, oh, how did he actually get on the raft? Oh, how did he actually get the sigil? Did anybody want that? Because I didn't.
Yeah.
I watched that and I thought, like, we already know where this is going. Again, it's these things where it's like, we know Isildur's going to live. So when he's attacked by a spider and you're trying to create some tension, you're spending 15 minutes on it, not 15, but 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't hold any weight because we know, unless you, again, knock another pillar down, he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So,
you bring up a point that, like, what the showrunners in this interview that I want to list down in the description, I kind of deviated from, it's my fault, but you brought it up again, which is, The whole point of what they were making this podcast is they were disappointed by the likes of us, I think, or shocked, really, that we didn't... They felt like it was odd that we wanted to see Sauron like he was Sauron in the Third Age. Yeah,
right.
And it's like, actually, just to be honest with you guys, yes.
Yeah.
I don't think Sauron changed, especially... This timeline seems to be condensed towards the end of the Second Age.
Yeah.
Unless there's going to be some other crazy time, like Isildur's got to be right there leading us into the next age. So, to me, the Sauron that I was envisioning going into this is very similar in terms of power and in terms of like, just like I felt like his spirit was more powerful. Yeah, I feel like his correct. Yeah, exactly.
Not diminished. Like, he was.
No, yeah. And like, leading up to the I mean, where he's got the rings and he's got. And Isildur, right up to that moment where he cuts it off and everything. Yeah, he's growing in power that whole time, right? He's growing and growing and growing to this climax. And it's like. So to go back to this time where the start of that, he is so low that I don't know. It is almost just unbelievable. And I
he's
think
way
they,
too
and,
human.
And I think
he's way
they,
too humanized.
I think they would say, well, isn't that interesting, right?
No.
And
it's
what they
not.
Did was they said,
frustrating.
They said, hey, that's actually going to happen to almost every single character. So, like, it's not just Sauron that you're going to see, yeah, he's powerful here, we're going to bring him low. Galadriel, she was this way, yep. and she's going to be the exact foil, this complete opposite yep. Of herself in the Third Age. In the second, yep. it happens to Elrond, Gil-galad, and...
Elendil, Isildur.
Yeah, so...
Any known yeah. character. It,
right. The other and so thing too, that's like, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to... It, for all of them, it just feels like, and I know, I don't know how many seasons they're going to have. It's just a big, long, growing process. And if so, then boy, you sure could have done some time jumps. You
Man,
definitely
lot,
could
dude.
Have done some different things
yeah.
here. And you know, it, yeah, go.
To the Sauron point, right? Like that we, to think that we wouldn't, it doesn't even make any sense within what they're saying. Like they say so much, I swear, they creep me out, dude. When you go listen to Payne and McKay actually talk, they're so creepy. Like they're two of the cringiest dudes. I would say that to their face, bro. At this point, I am so. I feel like you and I have to defend Middle Earth.
Oh,
have to
boy,
defend Tolkien's memory because his own family isn't.
Man, I
his own
like,
family
yeah,
doesn't
wow.
give a damn about his works, dude. That is like to me. That is kind of tragic.
Yeah,
that's kind of tragic. This guy who's created this story. Who now this might verge on like human worship or whatever, like humanistic, like. Tolkien worship.
Getting...
But for real, like the stories he created have pointed me to something more.
Yeah. Okay.
The
yeah,
stories that
yeah,
he wrote
yeah.
gave me a compass during a time when like I needed one.
Yep.
And still do to this day.
Yeah.
To this day they provide a compass and a framework for me.
Yeah.
And I think too so again, it might be taken too seriously. It's just a TV show. I understand that. But why can't it be both ways?
Mm-hmm.
When there's a show that hits and it changes
oh.
people. Then yeah. it's like, oh, yeah, of course, we can talk about how great that was and how influential it is. But when it's something that falls short, it's like, oh, quit griping, quit
yeah,
finding holes.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, because we know the potential. We know the potential.
Yeah.
That's why my question would be, how does it feel? It's a fumble. How
it's
does it feel to fumble?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they do. They creep me out. They creep me out.
Yeah.
But what they're saying there, too, is it doesn't even make any sense within what they're saying. They just seem to talk in circles. They contradict themselves all the time. It's almost like they start it's Michael Scott syndrome. They start a sentence and they don't even know where it's going to end up by the time they get there. But like, yeah, so we were expecting to see Sauron as he was in the Third Age. I don't know if they remember. There's a prologue at the beginning of Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah.
That is the Second Age.
Yeah, yeah.
And we see Sauron. Forging the ring when he holds the ring up, right? There's
yeah.
a deleted scene where he had put gold in his hand and stabbed his hand. It was a concept that Alan Lee came up with. We still see the knife in his hand. So we actually see him forging the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have an image of what he was like
yeah.
in the Second Age.
Yeah.
Right? Sure, we don't see Annatar. We don't see the deception. We don't see the cults. We don't see the battles. What
yeah.
we do, though, we do. We see the battle, the last
yeah.
alliance of men
yeah.
and elves. So we do see him in the Second Age. We do see a glimpse, anyway, of Galadriel in the Second Age. And she's with Círdan and Gil-galad putting her ring on.
Yeah.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah.
We see... So yeah,
yeah.
so why
yeah.
would our expectations be
yeah.
different? Why do they have to be lesser just because they were younger? Why do they have to
yeah.
be diminished? Why do they have to have this like, well, they were way down here. They had all kinds of like human desires and revenge.
Well,
and
it actually, even by bringing those characters a little bit lower.
Right.
And saying this is maybe why they were deceived.
Yeah.
It makes Sauron's deception need less.
Exactly. Yes, because, well, and aren't we always talking about the elves are slowly diminishing over time?
Mm-hmm.
Right? They started amazing
yeah.
and then just slowly disintegrated. It happens mm-hmm. with men, it happens with all. It's like a commentary on us. The further away we get, the more civilization advances. We feel like we're advancing, but we're losing so much of
yeah.
whatever kept us like mystical in the first place. And so I don't know. I just think to myself, like, yeah, it cheapens the the deception. It makes it easier for Sauron. My God, in here, it's like playing with Play-Doh. In the show, it's like a true kids' table. It's like, hey, wink, wink, let's go do this. Oh, okay. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, I think it's just,
hard,
I don't know.
It's hard to swallow.
It doesn't make sense, because I think if you do it the right way, you'd be making more money. Mm-hmm. You would be having you wouldn't have to be covering up so many negative opinions and reactions to this. Like, you wouldn't have to be saying, well, look at our fan score on Rotten Tomatoes. Don't mind the critics, because critics are hard on everything. Look at all these fans, right? Yeah. Like, where are half those fans? Are they actually real people? Are they being paid? Are they Amazon employees?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff where it's like,
and I think I said this at the beginning of the
commentary. More deception and lies.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems to be a thing with it. Like, as I mentioned in our commentary over on Patreon, that, like Wheel of Time, I thought they went in and there was actual source material, and they said, you know what? That source material is not good enough and not going to hook our audience, and they're not going to give them enough sort of like, we need to give them a reason to care about the specific character. Yeah. So, like, there's a character, Perrin, he has no wife, he doesn't kill his wife, that never happens, and this is a completely made-up thing, but they're like, we had to do that so you guys care about that person.
Right.
And I'm sitting here going, like, I think I said in the commentary, like, he's just a regular dude, and I'm just a regular dude, and
they exist.
The village is attacked, and I'm regular like, cool, let's go.
Yeah.
So, sometimes I'm just sort of like, every single person seems to have, they're all, it's almost like this story is so full of dynamic characters. They're everybody. And I get that in real life. Yes. Yeah. Everybody's got their they go through change and stuff, but it's just almost too much. And it's just not believable. Actually. It's hard to, which is weird because that's supposed to make it more believable.
Right.
But we're talking about elves.
Yeah,
and we're talking about they've lived since they've been around. Survived the fall of Gondolin, like fought in the War of Wrath. Yeah. Like they have all that experience, and they're just duped like no one's business.
They have
and
memories
so
of Sauron.
It would be, I just need a better, harder deception, something more believable, something that's going to be,
because it makes it more tragic. It makes it more moving.
Don't like Celebrimbor. I'm sort of like,
if
dude,
they put Celebrimbor on a pike right now, I'd stand up and cheer. I'd be like, nice job.
It just feels, and I love that character. I actually really like that character in lore. And so I'm like, this feels just like that cannot be the that cannot be how he really was. Yeah. Because it's almost like I always, when I just, even the small bits that you read about, you're like, man, he really, he kind of, you know, was able to do this in secret away from Sauron and create these rings, and it was like a big deal.
That's so cool.
You know, versus like last second Galadriel's like, you know, make three. And it's it wasn't even his idea. It was Galadriel's idea, and it's which is whatever, you know. But I mean, then he's just like, at least he had the idea of, well, we need the pure gold and silver from Valinor. Thank God somebody has a knife over here. But
would you be willing to part with it? I got to think about it for a minute.
And those are all minor details that, like,
but they add up as
right. But if the story is straight, again, I could have followed a lot of those things. And when I say, by the way, I keep saying straight, and I don't want to. I mean, just sort of like I don't, people are like, because when you start hating on something, you know, like, not that we're hate. I don't want anybody to start thinking, God, what are you trying? I'm trying to say that, like, there are certain things that need to be straightened out. That this should have followed more consistently from the beginning, writings, from jump. Yeah. When we say there's a fumble, we don't mean a fumble by the running back and the actors and everyone else.
Yeah.
We mean like like the coaches on the sideline calling the play in. We love to make our sports analogies.
Yep.
Like the offensive lineman, the center who was snapping the ball, heard something totally different from what everybody else heard, and he's trying to long snap it, and we're actually under center.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a fumble right there.
It almost might even be more like bad. Snaps clean, but the quarterback is falling backwards.
Could be that, yeah, absolutely.
Showrunner, it's quarterbacks, right? Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, whoever it is, whatever it is. If they want to take all this credit for being showrunners, then when crap hits the fan, you got to take the same thing as like a coach or a leader, right? Like, if you're in charge of something and you want to be like, oh, yeah, you want to take the praise, you got to take the crap too.
I really want to know something that I've said, because I know more people will probably listen to this.
How much
first
influence they have or
review.
What?
Yes. Yeah. I really want to know, Like, were they directed to do a guessing game style season one?
I mean, they might have been.
Because if they were, then, because if they said that to me, I would be like, I now understand why you guys are trying to do what you're trying to
do. See, and that's also probably why.
But that's off. I just think, man, that sucks. I don't know what I would have done in your guys' shoes. Well, that's how much pushback can you give on that? Like, did the studio direct you to do that? Did Simon Tolkien, did somebody tell you guys to do this? Or was this your design? You're the showrunners.
And then you have to think, too, if you had experienced showrunners there, would that have happened? Would they even have tried, right? Yeah. Like, maybe that was their whole thing. They wanted this type of a show, and so they thought, let's get some green guys who've never actually had their own show before. They'll be so thrilled to have a show. Mm-hmm. They'll be so thrilled that it's Lord of the Rings, that if all we have to do is give the implication of a threat, and we can just get them to do and produce and green light and okay, whatever we want them to do, no matter what we want to push, no matter how we want to change the story, no matter how much we want to say that people who are fans of Tolkien are idiots and morons and whatever, judgmental and hypocritical and mean-spirited people, which is not true. The other thing, too, that was interesting, you made a point of talking about how they change stuff in Wheel of Time, too.
Yeah.
And how they're it's so incredible. Like, they're making changes to try and get a broader audience, but they're sacrificing the deepest audience.
Like, the audience Time, that will talk about it and go on social media.
And keep it alive.
And yeah.
And who Wheel of Time, they didn't have to win you over, right? You were already in.
Already there.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
You're already in.
Here.
Star Wars, when Star Wars series come out, you're already in. So just don't screw that part up.
Yeah. And
just don't screw that. That's not that hard.
Right. Right. Here's the other thing with the second age. So when you, for example, when you're adapting The Fellowship of the Ring, you're Peter Jackson, you're making your movies, right? There's tons of source material. There's an actual book. You can adapt that pretty well. And when you deviate from it, it shows there's a lot there. We can see the deviation. But there's also a lot there, so you could choose to just not show some stuff like Tom Bombadil, different things, and you could deviate in a way that still is pretty solid. People gave him a lot of grief for that. But there's not actually a lot in the second age, and it's thousands of years, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're like, okay, where are you going to go with that? How are you going to do it? And the little that is there, what are you... And they had the ability to do this because they're just making backstory for anybody that they want. And they're actually making conversations and details for Galadriel, every single character, Sauron, all of them. They're making backstory. It is completely just up to their writers, and they're writing it how they want. They have the rights to those characters, so therefore they can do it how they want. But then when we go check the Second Age, or you go look and see, like, okay, well, what happened? And it's sort of some things don't sort of line up. And they're trying in this season to give them credit. Lots of lore, and I kind of said so far in the first three episodes, it seems like it's just a lot of word Easter eggs.
Yeah, references.
You know, references and stuff. You're like, okay, cool. And it is cool. Like, those are neat, and the dialogue there seems kind of cool and catchy, and people are like, oh, cool, I got that. Yeah, you get it. Anybody who doesn't read it, wouldn't know what the Dimmerdale Dale is, they'd be like, that just sounds like world building and cool, not really sure. And we're all like, oh, we know what that is, and awesome. But now it seems like it's just shoved in there to kind of, you know...
We told you guys we were going to appeal more to the...
We're leaning into the lore, And I'm like, okay, like, what kind of... What lore? Yeah. Like, you know, the lore of Sauron? This is the... Are you leaning into his lore, or are you just creating it?
Yeah.
You're really just creating his story. And I'm like, which... Again, I know you have to some degree, but it just... I don't know. It just seems like it's so much. It's just so... It's a lot.
The other thing, too, is that, like, there's so much emphasis on Sauron. And this was something that Jake had mentioned, because we were talking about the episode. Also, Mike Charles, also Joe Lewis has been hitting us up.
Yeah.
Matthew Johnson. There's been great conversations already.
And hopefully we'll get to Hobbit Hotline.
I was just going to say, hopefully we will get to hear more of that on the Hobbit Hotline. But one of the things that Jake said, too, he was like, I like that Sauron, his origins, his... shape-shifting, his deception is mysterious.
Yeah.
I like that stuff was kind of left to the unknown. And I think to myself, think about how much screen time or how many lines Sauron has in the Lord of the Rings. That was actually one of the challenges. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, I love when this stuff comes to me, boy.
Come on.
Sorry.
Come on.
Like, one of the things that Peter Jackson talked about with Lord of the Rings, that one of the greatest challenges was... your villain is a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Your main big bad
is an eye.
Is an eye. It's a disembodied spirit.
Yeah.
That's kind of connected to a ring and kind of connected to the this eye in a tower.
Yeah.
That is challenging as hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of like a, usually you've got a, like a person, a figure. Mm-hmm. You've got a physical presence.
Right. That you can walk
That's the bad guy. Yeah. If they're 1,000 feet tall or if they're just really dark and menacing, mm-hmm. it's a singular point. And instead of seeing that as a challenge or instead of seeing that as a bad thing, they looked at it and saw, okay, so how could Sauron, being this force, infiltrate? Mm-hmm. How could he I mean, we hear it all the time. Like, God, one of my favorite scenes is when the ring slips on Frodo's hand and he falls under it and he sees the eye. But even more scary is you hear Sauron's voice saying, mm-hmm. there is no light in the void, only death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it mingles in with the rumbling sound and the eye flickering. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, my God. Like, that is terrible. And it stays with you. There's no light in the void, only death. And he's peering into a hobbit's soul and saying this.
Yeah.
And then also what that does is it shows the resilience of a character like a Frodo or a Sam or these forces of good, because it's not just like some physical battle where you can work out, you can get stronger, you can learn bowcraft and swordsmanship and how to fight, like hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
It's something inside.
Yep.
It's a strength of your soul and your resilience that
willpower
is much harder.
Yeah.
Is much harder to master and like build. And so they could have had a scary Sauron without being like,
right,
oh, we're gonna learn how he shapeshifts and goes from this to that, and we're gonna visually see every single part of it. We've seen more of him than we have of Elendil.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Yeah, you want to keep him as the big bad. And anytime that I sort of read about Annatar or I was thinking about what was going on in the Second Age, I often thought that it was like, okay, he is coming and going. He is this sort of like Annatar is there working with them, and then where do you go?
Yeah.
And he's not always there. He comes and goes. He's this interesting individual, mystical powers, and even saying you're a messenger. Like the way what he actually says and who he is fine, whatever, how they brought forth Annatar, cool. But having him being there and he's around for a lot of time and he seems to kind of like Gandalf, he just all the time. And how many times did we read the word disappear in the first several chapters of
and
like
the Hobbit too?
Right. Yeah. He would just disappear.
Comes and goes.
You know, comes and goes. And so I always thought that Annatar was kind of like that. And then also meanwhile in Mordor and different places, he had been there for years.
He's got different plates spinning, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's got different things going. And so
setting up cults in Numenor.
But instead, he's really singular. He's just right here in this, in this one spot. And it seems really mortal,
bro. He's too human, right? Like he almost feels more like a man than he does. Like you were saying, dude, the stranger's got more abilities than he does.
Oh, stranger's way more powerful,
right?
I don't see that right now. It's sort of like I would put that blue wizard on him fast, and I'd hope the blue wizard's out of control.
They're going the wrong direction.
I hope he can't control his power.
yeah.
So he just knock the
instead
heck out of
killing Sauron. Harfoots.
Because the orcs got him. I mean, the orcs killed Sauron. Adar just stabbed him with a crown.
So insane.
So I don't know why the Istari would have any trouble whatsoever.
Right.
With Sauron.
Handling
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. You brought him so low that the believability of his power is hard, and then also not having him be a part of the corruption of Mordor. Like the way I foresaw it was sort of like, you know, Mordor is there and it's mysterious. We don't really know who the Lord of Mordor is, sort of thing. And it's just this growing, emerging darkness is spreading and creeping through the land and all this kind of stuff. And it's not a volcano and it's these different things, but it's a slow over time
manifestation
thing.
Of his spirit.
Well,
right?
Why did they have to condense the creation of Mordor? Because they condensed the timeline. They needed it to happen in less than 6 seconds.
Yeah.
They needed it to happen. Boom. Quickly.
And they wanted it to be I think they wanted it to be like this spectacle too. They wanted it to be this cute little like, oh, wow. Oh, what's this water going to, oh my gosh, the water's whoa. And it
gotcha.
Was like,
fooled you.
Yeah. And it was, and then it was like, well, Mordor's just here now and we can have a title reveal.
All of
and
a sudden it's just there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all flash, no fire. And
but back to the point of him coming and going and being in different places.
Yeah.
It's like, I just saw Mordor kind of being this like very big question mark for people, mysterious. There's rumors and we don't really go there, and there's not a lot of people who are going in and out. And at the meanwhile, this beautiful angelic individual is over here crafting different things and stuff, and then he'll go be a counselor later on, you know, in Numenor and things. And
what if they would have done it? Yeah, what if
wild?
What if they would have done it the way you described it too? Like, what if they would have had Annatar show up and like we're seeing all these smiths working, right? We see Celebrimbor actually working on stuff, not just passing notes and lint rolling his velvet. Like, he's like, and we see all these smiths working, and we notice, wouldn't even notice one. And then, like, he might come over and be talking to them, and they're like, oh, this is a smith who's come to us recently from some other elven land. And, okay, what is your name? Annatar. Like, it could have been as subtle as that. And
the subtlety would have been
And almost, like, almost imagine in his deception, too, being, like, a false humility, right? Like, he creates these beautiful things that stands out amongst all the other smiths, and it's almost like Celebrimbor's like, huh. And maybe that's part of why his suspicion is raised, but he's also intrigued, right?
Yeah.
But he would just be, oh, it's just, it's nothing. It's, I'm just trying to learn here, same as you. And it would be like this almost, that's how you could make him likable. That's how you could see how he'd be deceiving, is like this false humility that he's using to seduce everyone he can.
Yeah.
So there's like a million other ways you could ways do it could, better it, than.
We've mentioned before on podcasts different ways that you could take the rights that they've had. The other YouTube channels have done this, and they've gone
Tolkien
and,
Untangled. Go check it out.
Yeah, I mean,
yes, that's incredible.
Actually, you know, I mean,
I would love his show to be made. I mean,
I literally was blown away by his suggestions, and I thought, you know, unless he's completely wrong about the rights, but I don't think he is. I think what they tell us they have the rights to is, and then they're getting special permissions for special names.
Yeah, it's changing all the time, so it doesn't really matter. The other thing too that when I tried to rewatch season one before with Sarah. And there was this whole, and I was trying not to pick it apart because, again, I don't even know, you know, I mean, whatever.
No, I know. We're going off feeling and you know, years
and like bits and pieces of fragments from memories of like, oh, yeah, or like looking things up on the fly and being like, that's right. That's how that was. And it's just a testament to Tolkien's world building.
Yeah.
Like, it's just nobody's ever going to do that again. Like, he's created an actual mythos.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. So, but, you know, there's a bunch of, especially in the early episode one, there's tons of elven conversations.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I was watching it with Sarah, and I was like, well, and of course, if they wanted to add a layer of authenticity to this, they would be speaking in Elvish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it almost never happened. It happened in episode one, and it was so silly the way it happened. You had like Gil-galad, Galadriel, and Elrond having that conversation about give me the rings before Elrond jumps off the waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you had this moment where Galadriel and Elrond were like speaking Elvish in a way that they were like trying to speak secretly so Gil-galad didn't hear.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's not how you use Elvish. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's weird when they turned it on and turned it off.
Yeah.
I have to go back and see why they did or didn't.
It felt like almost like they would, as you're trying to make the audience think like, oh, they don't want Gil-galad to hear this part. But it's like, that doesn't even make any sense. Anyway, but they wanted to use some Elvish.
Yeah.
It's not used in a way that I think like it could have been. So that's the only reason I bring it up. Tolkien Untangled, in one of his, the way he has it broken up, there's certain seasons that are almost all elves.
Yeah.
And he talks about how you could really, you would lose a lot of people maybe, but you could rely heavily on like subtitles and Elvish being spoken, and how it would make sense and how it would lend. But we saw how, you know, you can respond to that in the trilogy with like all of the dialogue between Legolas and Aragorn and Arwen and Elrond and Galadriel telepath, like they to incorporate Elvish in a way that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that you're right, and that's one of the it's just, where it just feels odd, and it feels sort of like just kind of things seem out of place, and this overall impression of it just not feeling the way we expected, you know.
So
I think we've labored on it. We've said a lot of different things. I just was a rant. I just wanted
spoken our piece,
just kind of rant, and I want to finish with just the fact that like I do know they're trying to improve. I know they're trying to, and I know that this was, they were definitely trying to, and it is stunning. It is, if I didn't know anything about this and if I wasn't trying, the funny thing is, I'm trying to make connections to like the lore in the Third Age. And I go back to that podcast where they said like, you know, guys, this is going to be something that's going to connect to that later. And I'm just sort of like, I don't see how. Mm-hmm. It's so far distant from those characters. And then when I go to check it, what should be there is just, it just feels... This too
disparate. Yeah, it's way too desperate. Disparate. Yeah, yeah. Different. Yeah.
So, but again, the you know, and I know, you know, again, we jokingly said during the commentary, or maybe it was before during the bathroom break, I don't know, that like some of the actors were sort of just like, you know, like, hey, it's a TV show or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, it's a TV show. When you listen to, you know, if you listen to us talking, you don't like what we say, it's just a TV show.
True.
So, you know what I mean?
It's true.
We just don't like it. We think it's bad. I don't think it's, I don't think they're, I think it's season one. I think this is a big improvement in terms of like quality and the things that they're trying to do, and the lore and all the different things. But there is no fix for the things you did in season one.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate. I thought maybe my hope was, like I said, I'll say it one more time, is that there was some clever way to get around some of those things, and that it wasn't going to be, and there wasn't, and I didn't think there was, and that's that.
Yeah.
One more final thing. There is a show that you've watched and I've watched and I've covered that did do time jumps, and they did different actors, and they did a fine job, and they had no problem with it. And it's highly rated, highly successful.
Yeah.
And there is a similar amount of source material that some people will say, well, they don't have a whole lot, you know, to go off of in terms of the Second Age. They're given the rights, actually. I could be wrong. But it sounds like they're just given the appendices and they're given like the books.
Yeah.
And they're like, whatever characters are in there, you can just kind of do what you want with it. And then I don't know, make sure it kind of matches some of the stuff that we have in the Second Age.
The green lighting, is that what you mean? Like how they're getting stuff greenlit? Yeah, I think it must just really be, I don't know. That was something, I don't know if we talked about that. That came out recently, how they, in an interview, oddly came out and said, well, all of our scripts are greenlit by the Tolkien estate.
Yeah.
Did you hear this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's and it's like, okay, well, what is that? Who's greenlighting it? What is it? Why are you even saying that?
Saying that?
Yeah, it's an attempt to be like, see, look, they're saying this is Tolkienian. The Tolkien estate is. It's just this weird like justification. They're trying desperately to justify what they're doing. And but yeah, no, the House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones,
They did time jumps.
They did.
Because their whole thing was like, well, I don't know that they ever really directly talked about it, but people were just like, they chose to do a condensed timeline, extremely condensed. Mm-hmm. We all were speculating that other ways to do it. And I was thinking about House of the Dragon. I was thinking about other fandoms and
you
stuff.
You brought that up just sort of, years ago.
Yeah, and then I just watched in season one and season two of House of the Dragon how they did it, and they pulled it off successfully. Yeah. They even then wove those characters that we liked into season two and weird visions and stuff, and brought back their younger selves, and you're like, whoa, okay, that's sick. There are creative ways to pull it off, and we've seen other people talk about it on different outlets.
Here's the beauty of the thing too, like with elves, you wouldn't have to get different actors.
I know, you would just build.
And they're the only ones who would make those time jumps and stay the same.
Yep. And that's what Tolkien intended. That's what some of those guys actually mention and talk about. So, they kind of piece all that together.
It's actually easier than Game of Thrones. Yeah, like, it's easier to do it.
But it just can't, I don't know.
Which, isn't that funny too? Because it hasn't kept them from jumping around. Like we're in Rune, and then we're down in Mordor, and then we're jumping over to Numenor. And like, instead of time, we're jumping these great vast distances in seemingly this, we don't really know. Are these things happening concurrently? I'm assuming, right? I'm assuming that they're happening all at the same time. So
There is a lot to follow. There is a lot to follow. And it anyway, it's just, again, choices that we can't go back from. So anyway, all that to say, like, hate to come out in 1, 2, and 3 and be like this, but I'm still intrigued by the Blue Wizard, because I totally believe he's not Gandalf. I'll give you that. And what else am I intrigued by? I'm honestly just intrigued in general to kind of witness this thing, because I am dumbfounded by it. I'm a little bit dumbfounded, and and it goes back to season one for me, so I need to quit saying that. But it's just, that's how I can't get over it. Because I'm rooting for this show. I was rooting for season two hardcore. Yeah. I was like, let's go, man. This is going to be something cool. But I'm rooting for the actors. I hope it, you know, I hope it does still drive people to the books and Tolkien and to you actually read the series and go buy those things and everything.
Sure.
And I guess I would also just ask the Tolkien estate, like, is that like you guys greenlit Adar? You guys greenlit the killing of Sar? I just want to know, like, did you guys actually say, you know what? Look, that's lore, baby. That's lore. We're letting these guys pin it. We're letting these guys pin down the actual, which is fine. I knew there would have to be a little bit of that, but I'm just...
It would be more fine. I mean, it would be fine if they did it in a way that, yeah, it's just, it is kind of disappointing. It would be interesting to see. And maybe they don't. Maybe they don't give a crap. I mean, they must not. They must not care. They must, you know, we talked about this too, how Tolkien didn't like make very much money from his writings. He was not, to my knowledge anyway, he was never a rich man. Like, reading his letters, that book that you and Lottie got me, I mean, there were times like after The Hobbit was published where he was like writing some of those letters are thank you letters to his publisher, being like, that £50 really came in handy, thank you, I had some bills I had to pay, and you probably won't ever know how timely that was.
Dang.
It's like, what, dude?
Dang, dude.
What? Meanwhile, Amazon's shilling out $1 billion just for the
TV rights.
There is a part of me that goes like, yeah, I mean, you know, you're far removed from the man who did it. He's this patriarch. You'll never do anything unique because you'll always be in his shadow.
Yeah.
And so maybe there is some kind of like festering, you know, like almost kind of like disdain you'd have for him. Or maybe it's not that, might not be that dark. It might just be like, I don't really care. I'm apathetic. I'm into race cars and pony mares. Like, I don't care about Lord of the Rings. Like, can we make some money off this, Dad? Cool. Yeah, sure. Let them do. Who cares? Greenlight it.
It's true. Exactly.
That might be what it is.
That actually is probably what it is.
And it's for these children of the story, right? All of us who are children of the story, it hurts. Like, it really does. It's kind of like, dang, dude. Like, not in a way where I can't sleep at night, but in a way where I go, I watch the show and I go, oh my God.
Well, because for
what
example,
are we doing?
Like, yeah. For example, I think we, like, people who love it, like you just mentioned, maybe somebody who is at the Tolkien estate. This is all hypothetical. I don't know any of this. I have no idea. But you said hypothetical as if they were not maybe into it and said, sort of like, hey, you know what? Let's make some. Yeah, I'm. You guys are the creatives. Go ahead and I trust you guys to go ahead and do it. You seem like you know what you're talking about. You're like, you spoke Elvish.
It'll make money. Cool. That's fine.
Yeah. All good with me.
Yeah.
But if it were someone who really, like, was in love with the stories and really wanted to adhere and keep the spirit of it all kind of there, I don't know.
I kind of want to know, like, so Roy Tolkien is one of the great grandsons, I believe. I don't know how. I'd have to look up the family because I can't remember. Because Tolkien had 4 children. I don't know how many children they had. And then how many children those children had. But Roy Tolkien was, he like loved the films, the trilogy.
Yeah.
He was actually a Gondorian extra Return of the King or something. And I think he went back and was part of The Hobbit. And so he really had a love for those movies. And so I wonder if this is, if he has any like continued influence, or if maybe he's changed and this is something that he is like, cool, this feels the same to me, whatever, or what. But yeah,
but
anyway,
also, maybe they didn't expect it to get, maybe they felt like, because for example, when people have to do adaptations, they have to make changes. I'm looking at Wheel of Time and it's 14 books and they're sort of like, hey, we got to do it in 6 seasons. 14 novels in 6 seasons, maybe 8, if we're really going to push it.
Oh my gosh.
You cut everything. You cut so much. So
you would. And then, like you said, the pressure from producers who don't care about the art at all. They care about the bottom line. And so, yeah.
Right.
It's too bad.
Who knows? We're never going to know. You guys know we're never going to know.
Yeah.
But I want to say this. Can we say something?
Please.
Just in closing here. I really was rooting for this. I really do want folks who like it.
Oh yes, please.
To feel free to call in. Lane and I are not like.
I actually really enjoy hearing.
Yeah, other people
who like it talk about what they enjoy, because it helps inform. Well, it helps me get out of my head with all the little stuff that I that bothers me.
Yeah,
and I look at it with fresh eyes. So it really does. It helps me a lot. So yeah, if you're one of those people who are like, I'm not going to call in and say I like the show because the guys clearly are not feeling it.
No, because there are
lines. And I
don't
want to talk to them. But hopefully,
listen to the commentary. I had tons of lines. I was like, that's freaking sick. That's
I like some things too. But I hope that people know us too well enough that if you came on and you were gushing over the show, we would be nothing but happy for you. We would never like make anyone feel silly for like, these are our personal gripes, right? These are our personal like issues with the show. It has nothing to do with our brothers and sisters who, who would like, or even more strongly dislike. There are people who like dislike the show way more than us.
Way more.
And that's okay too. Because I know that they probably have more information than I do. And that it may be...
Right.
Maybe this... Probably... We've talked about this before. Maybe this is... I know it is. This is some people's favorite time period. They were waiting for... They have been waiting for this.
Yeah,
that would be true. Like Lord of the Rings is getting so changed so much that you go in and you don't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Lottie has talked about this. Like if they were to go make an adaptation for Harry Potter, her favorite series, if it deviates so far and it's so... It leaves out so many critical things that she feels... And she's really excited for this specific season where they're adapting her favorite Harry Potter book and they do it wrong. She's going to be put out on that, right? You know, so that is, I guess that is, that does kind of explain us a little bit in terms of like, well, you know, because the general audience is going to love it. Like I said, my students, they were in the guessing game, but they don't know. They just, that's, that was okay, cool. Yeah. They're into it. And then over the years, they'll kind of, you know, reflect and you know, we'll see, who knows? Maybe they do get into lore. Maybe they don't. Maybe they read the series, whatever. But all that to say, we want you guys to call in. And honestly, you know, I am rooting for all the costume designers. We talked to Tammy Lane years ago, and somebody was just listening to that interview. We want the orcs to look awesome. We want all those things to look really cool. And there are cool sets and blah blah blah. And we could go on and on. And I feel like we just haven't said enough that there are many good things about it, but the lore and the stories and the decisions in season one, that's what's sort of clouding all of my ability to
judgment.
look at this, right? So that's where I want the clarity in terms of other people to come in, write in and tell us what are we missing? What is it that we're not seeing? Because there are little nuances that I know like Lottie's going to pick out and be like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, that's a cool connection, you know?
I'm like, I'm honestly at this point, like I'm, this season, I'm cheering for Sauron. I'm like,
dude,
it, like
in an
this,
alternate reality, like, same. I'm
exactly. And if it just confined to the showverse, I'm like, I hope he kicks everyone's butt.
Because that actor,
like, I'm down for that,
dude. Yeah, look how he was treated,
Charlie. And dude, I mean, talking about like how some of these actors are like, they have immense talent. Like, I really feel, we talked about this. Charlie Vickers is like he's a great actor.
He's amazing.
I really do feel, and people like, it's not his fault that he had to say, you know, I am the Lord of the Rings, or have you tried mixing them? Like, he's great.
Yeah.
He is really great. And honestly, it was Mike Charles who was like, dude, look at Charlie Vickers in certain, some of these scenes, and tell me he couldn't play like a younger Aragorn.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was a couple shots when he was on that boat in his profile. I'm like, that looks like a young Viggo.
Yeah.
Like, not to a T, but enough where I'm like, man, that's incredible. But yeah, I've been blown away by his performance. And he plays these, even Halbrand will have like shifts in tone and character and the way he speaks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's pretty, that would be hard to do.
For sure.
It'd be really hard to do. And so he's impressive, man. I hope he does other stuff too that we can enjoy, that he doesn't like.
Yeah. Who plays the wizard? Who's playing the wizard again?
Oh, he's great too. Daniel Wayman. Yeah, he really is.
Really. I'm super intrigued by him still. And I'm super intrigued to see what that story is. If it's Gandalf, I'm again going to be like, what, dude? Like, that cannot be Gandalf.
He plays such an older character. Like, he's not as old as he seems, right? I mean, he's like old.
No. And he's doing a great job.
He does a great job.
All of it is solid. And Morfydd Clark, for example, is actually playing a Galadriel that they're directing her to play.
Right.
This is a... if you have problems with... If you're like, well, I'm not so sure that this is weird, or she looks weird here. That's what they're directing her to do, because she is completely the opposite of the Galadriel that we, you know and love from the Lord of the Rings series. Mm-hmm. I mean, flat out opposite. So it's why I think it's why that actor or that character might get a bit more kind of like hate, because we're sort of like, this is just bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not, anyway. So labored on it. Love you guys. And tell you what, we will be back. We're going to have the Hobbit Hotline early next week. So you guys will call in. We'll post, and maybe Payne and McKay will call.
I hope they call on in. That'd be great.
What are you going to do if somebody's going to call?
I will say.
Someone's going to call and say,
hey, McKay, and I would just say,
could you imagine?
How's it feel, man?
We'll be duped.
How's it feel?
I'm already giving somebody sort of
the you're giving them the lead for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. They're the incentive.
Someone do it. Someone do it. So that way I panic. So I start sweating.
If you
guys got a question for you.
If you like our late night sweats and our podcast, please leave a review.
Yep.
Drop us a line. Give us a Gmail shout out.
Write
a review.
Send us
shadow facts.
Come on.
We haven't done that forever.
I know.
We'll see you guys on the Hobbit Hotline. Remember, Sauron lies.
And so does Celebrimbor.
Dang, boy.
he lies.
No, Sauron lies and Celebrimbor dies.
Dang.
That's it, baby.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.